Hard to believe Philip Morris is celebrating his 17th year as CEO of Proctor's. He arrived in the Capital Region in early 2002 after 25 years as executive director of the Chautauqua County Arts Council in Western New York. Under his leadership, Proctor's has spent $42 million on expansion and renovation, which included a dramatically larger stage house and backstage facilities for the main theater, new box office and cafe, as well as the GE Theater at Proctor's. With major partnerships with Cap Rep in Albany and Universal Preservation Hall in Saratoga, Proctor's has been a leader in seeing the arts from a regional perspective. If you did not know this, and I didn't until just, I guess I did know this because you told me last year, but Philip is a Tony voter. He votes in the Tonys. How many are there of you? I think three.
No, it's more than that. It's almost 700 nationally.
700
but I
nationally.
Don't know how many vote because you have to see everything in every category to vote in every category. So I have no clue how many people end up voting. I see everything because I figure I'm close enough to New York. There's no reason for me not to pull that off.
And it's not a bad gig.
And it's not a bad gig.
So Philip joins us this morning. We're talking about the Tonys. We'll talk about Hamilton. We'll talk about other stuff that's going on at Proctor's. And it's always a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you. Delighted.
Wonderful. So overall, did you think it was a good year for Broadway?
Yeah, I thought it was a remarkably good year. I was, you know what? You walk in with a preconceived notion always. I try to not read any of the reviews before I see a show, and I read them afterwards, usually that night, and you know, before I go to sleep. So
I do the same thing.
I walked into stuff like King Kong going, oh, this is going to be terrible. And I walk out going, wow, that was spectacular. That was just amazing. And I had more experiences like that this year where I walked in going, ah, The Temptations, you know, really another one of these jukebox musicals. And I walked out going, that's the best of its kind. And the guy who plays, is it Otis? Was
Otis Redding.
Awesome. He was awesome. And so it was one of those years where I walked in with my usual, you know, try to be cynical thing and walked out going, really good.
All right, so let's talk about some of the major categories. As we mentioned, the Tonys are this coming Sunday on CBS, and it's always a cool event. I don't know where, you know, one of those things like the Oscars where the debates really start happening the minute the nominations come out because you're like, oh, why wasn't this nominated? Why was that nominated? And you have all of that. But once you settle down and you say, okay, here's everything. Let's look and see what's the best that we have here. It was we'll start with Best Musical. The two that seem to the cream of the crop that seem to be the front runners in this race are Tootsie and Hadestown. Two very, very different shows. One an original, another one a conversion from a classic film with Dustin Hoffman. What'd you think?
Tootsie was one that I walked in almost like King Kong, prepared to go, really? These conversions from film, you know, they get written up about a lot, and how come we can't be more creative than that? But the change to the stage is not an easy thing. I'm reminded of something I learned a little bit more intimately during American in Paris, where Proctor's actually was one of the producers and investors, and we got to participate in all kinds of conversations. I don't know as there's a much more difficult form to bring to the stage than the American style musical. Between the mix of skills required on all performers' parts, the intensity of the storytelling condensed to 90, 120 minutes, it's a tough form. And so converting from film to live is a big deal. And Tootsie did a much better job than I expected. It's not my vote, but I thought it was surprisingly good.
The other musicals in that category, Ain't Too Proud, which you mentioned, The Life and Times of the Temptations, Beetlejuice, Hadestown and the Prom. The Prom may be the one, as we saw this in the Drama Circle Awards, where that it's the little engine that could, where maybe the vote gets divided between Tootsie and Hadestown, and the Prom ends up winning. I was okay with the Prom. I was okay with Tootsie, but man, Hadestown is a show.
Hadestown is an amazing. The music is incredible. In my head, I went back and saw it a second time.
Oh, good for you.
And the second time, I was reminded that it was as if Hell's Portal was in New Orleans.
Right.
Right? And this jazz R&B sound was so awesome, and then going down into hell, and that guy's voice was amazing, and the dancing and choreography in hell was just remarkable. It was so reminiscent of a silent black and white film whose name I can't recall, yeah. But that sense of mechanical power being whipped into shape.
And it's one of those shows that when you watch it, you feel like you're seeing something special. Like you just feel like you're seeing something that is artistically superior.
I totally agree. The thoroughness of the storytelling, as you and I discussed even before we went on air, you know the story, not exactly, but basically, you know the story.
You know the story.
And it doesn't matter because it's how it's told about it.
And then, of course, the performances in that show are just amazing. And there's quite a few nominations that came out of the performances, which we'll get to in a second. Anything else in the musical that you would like to mention? So for you, it was between Tootsie and Hadestown?
Yeah, the Prom for me. And I had many conversations with peers, largely from New York, who adored the Prom.
Yeah.
I fell into that category of, I felt like an upstater. You know, I grew up in Metro New York and New Haven, but I felt like an upstater or a Midwesterner. I felt insulted a little bit by these New Yorkers trying to revive their careers and coming to my town and telling me that we don't know what we're doing about gays, or we don't know what we're doing about people that are different. I had this little reaction of, doggone you, you know? Really, you got to assume that?
Yeah.
So I had a hard time because I fell into that defend my hometown kind of thing.
And I understand, and I left it thinking, oh, that was all right, that was sweet, that was okay. But I wasn't blown away.
Though the people who loved it talk about very particular lines, very particular things that they found remarkable that they happened on stage as well as they did. And they're probably right.
And if it won, you would say, well, okay, that's with merit. Yeah, you know.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Okay, all right, we'll disagree on that. I just assume if something goes through that gauntlet, you know, and ends up winning, you're like, oh, okay, well, somebody saw something in it, and I guess I'll respect that. But I agree with you that Hadestown would be robbed. Oh, let's talk about best play. Choir Boy, which I adored. Ferryman, Gary, a sequel to Titus Andronicus, and someday I'll understand that.
Sure?
Nah, maybe not. Ink, which left me totally cold, and What the Constitution Means to Me, which I will admit to you I have not seen.
So Ink, I had a similar reaction. I loved learning more about the beginnings of the modern yellow press, you know, that it's modern because we've had it before 100 years ago, same thing.
That could have been a New Yorker article. Go ahead.
Exactly. A long New Yorker article would have been more than enough. It would have been perfect. And after learning that, nothing else about it did I like. I mean, is that...
I didn't even think the performances... Bertie Crivelle is playing...
Right,
Murdoch.
Murdoch.
I thought it was okay. It was a little over the top for me, and I don't know.
It's funny. I had the same. I had same reaction.
And then, but then you see, The Ferryman, which is just now that's theater. That's good, wrenching, amazing theater.
Now, I never thought about this till this conversation. But
yes, sir.
Put Ferryman and Hadestown next to each other, and they have a similar color in my mind.
They do?
They have a similar...
patina.
Patina. And they sucked you in. Identically. I mean, really.
Oh, yeah. You're all in.
You're just all in. And they're, yeah. And they're both kind of that kind of rich, suck you up, hear the story we're going to tell to you well.
Well, and grind you up, too.
Yeah.
I mean, especially in Ferryman. I mean, you're a man.
Oh.
Because it's wrenching. It is wrenching.
I thought that opening scene between him and his sister-in-law
yes.
was one of the most romantic. And it's not a dance, but dances
yes.
I had ever witnessed on stage. You were so certain they were lovers, and then to realize what's going on later on, it's like, whoa, what a fabulous opening.
Yeah. And I'm a Jez Butterworth fan anyway, but it was a really, really great show. You ended up voting for that, I assume?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
It was tough because Constitution was one of the best things I've ever seen. I adored it. But on balance, 51-49, you know, Ferryman just hit every single button.
Best revival of a musical, Kiss Me Kate and Rodgers and Hammerstein's Oklahoma.
Yeah, so I really liked Oklahoma a lot. It is an amazing refiguring
mm-hmm.
of something many of us think we know.
Right.
What's interesting, of course, is when you see this, you realize you don't know it at all.
Right.
You just think you do. But I couldn't vote for it. I finally, at the end of the day, I couldn't bring myself to vote for it. I voted for Kiss Me, Kate. Now, part of that is because Kiss Me, Kate was my first album. You know, I was 8 years old.
All right.
And there was a certain, I never saw it. I saw it by high schools, I think, but I never saw a professional production of it. So to see something that I listened to hundreds of times, you know, wore the album out, I had an emotional reaction to that, probably biased me.
So here is where you and I differ on this. Besides the obvious fact that you get to vote and I don't, but but Kiss Me,
small thing,
yeah, that. But Kiss Me, Kate, I thought was beautiful. I thought it was a lovely production of a show. I thought it was very by the numbers. I thought there wasn't really anything incredibly new to it. There were a couple moments in there that I thought were brilliant, and then artistically, I just thought. Because I saw it at Bard when they first did it, Oklahoma, and I was just blown away. The fact that they didn't alter a word of the original show, and they changed it in such a way. You saw, of course, Springsteen on Broadway, and when he does Born in the USA,
yes,
and he does it in that such a different way, and
yes.
You think, wow, this is not the song. I was screaming at the top of my lungs when I was 16 years old. And I felt the same way about Oklahoma, and I liked that feeling.
Yeah, I totally get that. It drove me crazy. It had a pace that my pulse was going, please, quicken this. Don't do this any longer. I can't take it.
You can't take it. Yeah.
Which may have meant it was terrific, and I didn't, just not for me.
I enjoyed the projections. I enjoyed the chili. I enjoyed everything.
The blackness. Those two scenes in black were absolutely. You know, they even cut the exit lights. I don't even know how they got away with that.
I know.
But it was black.
It was very, very
and you're
black.
Sitting there and you have no choice but to pay attention to the ever so slowly delivered dialogue.
And just the sounds, and it was, yeah, and I understand that, the slowness, but I just thought, again, artistically, revival of a play, and I'm torn on this one. I don't know how I would vote on this one. Arthur Miller's All My Sons, The Boys in the Band, Burn This, Torch Song, and The Waverly Gallery. I did not see the production of Torch Song. I did see everything else. What did you end up with?
I'm going to hold that answer
okay.
to the end of my 30
right.
seconds.
That's
I thought
fine.
that All My Sons. This is the third professional production of All My Sons I'd seen. And it was so well done, but it never stuck its fist in my heart and pulled it out, which is how I remember my last two productions. By the end, well before he shoots himself.
Spoiler. Go ahead.
Well, you know, it's All My Sons. It's 50 years old.
I know.
I felt like I was bleeding as an audience member, and that's not what happened this time. And so I kind of, and here it was, you know, days before D-Day. I saw it 2 weeks ago, you know, the 75th. And so a perfect time for thinking about the meaning of the play and the military complex that he was part of creating and all the rest of it. But it didn't do that. And I ended up not voting for it because of that, even though it was beautiful. The set was incredible. That house looks like you could have lived in it.
Yeah.
It was really remarkable.
I want to live in it, yeah.
And I went with Burn This. Adam Driver was incredible, but
with
I didn't
Kerry
end up not
Russell.
Voting him for Best Actor. So in a sense, instead of voting for you for Best Actor, I'm going to vote for your show.
Yeah.
Because some of these things are hard decisions, you know?
Now, let me ask you about, I agree with you completely on All My Sons, completely. I would, for me, it would have been between Burn This and the Waverly Gallery. And I thought Lucas Hedges was amazing in the Waverly Gallery. I thought that Elaine May was amazing in the Waverly Gallery. Joan Allen was amazing in the Waverly Gallery. And I greatly enjoyed that show. But if you ask me right now what shows stayed with me and what I can remember, I would have to say Burn This. Yeah.
Yeah, it really did. It stuck. It stuck because of him. But it was, well, that's not fair either. Responding to this presence, this monster on stage, was no easy matter for that cast. And
yeah.
He was a monster.
He was a monster. So we just have a few more minutes. So let me ask you one more question about this, and we'll move on to other things. And that is there anything you just hated? Is there anything you went in thinking, oh, God, and then it was like, oh, God? Or I think this will be fun, and it wasn't.
Actually, Gary.
Yeah.
It just, I hated it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to have hated it.
I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you.
You know, and I end up thinking, you know, maybe I'm just dumb, but no.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. And that's one of those things where you could say, oh, it's artistic and they're doing this, but I didn't get it, and I don't know.
Too much screaming. When you have to scream that much, something's wrong.
The other one that greatly disappointed me was King Lear.
Well, I didn't feel that way. It wasn't a best pick for me for anything.
Yeah.
Including Glenda.
Yeah.
I wasn't disappointed. I was more meh than disappointed. And there were some scenes I thought were really spectacular. I wasn't that disappointed.
Okay.
Why? What disappointed you?
I thought it was. It's a play that I think should be much more intimate. I think they chose an intimate theater and then they made the stage very inaccessible because they made it so big and they made it like that Trump Tower lobby, and it just didn't feel connected and things were sort of all over the place. I was getting a kind of everything I was reading about it was Glenda Jackson. It was not the production that did so well in London. It was a much different production.
Yeah.
And I think I would have liked to have seen that show better. But
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to a couple other things here. First of all, you've got a lot of great shows coming up between now and then, but Hamilton is coming.
Hamilton is coming.
You're getting ready for the Hamilton.
We're getting ready for the on sale, which, of course, isn't announced yet.
Yes.
We don't know the date. We will soon. We'll announce it soon.
And then how do you keep that process pure and make sure that the people who want tickets actually get the tickets that they're supposed to
Proctors.org, Proctors.org, Proctors.org. Go nowhere else. There is not one printed ticket. Not one. Even subscribers. They don't have them. They're not going to get them until 2 weeks before.
Yeah.
So if someone says they have a ticket to Hamilton, they spent $1,100 for it.
They don't.
They don't.
And the other thing, too, is that they know what they're doing, right? This production knows what they're doing as far as they're hitting this every city.
They know what they're doing, and we've upped our game in a substantive way. In fact, we're using a company that has a queuing platform for web sales. So instead of 75,000 people hitting our website all at once, they're going to hit this queuing platform, like getting in a line, and they're going to get in a line, and we're going to let 5 or 1,000 people in at a time. Well, while they're in line, they're testing for bots.
And then this also does away, obviously, with your longstanding tradition to go against Ticketmaster.
Because we're doing a good job of being our own site, you know?
All right, 30 seconds. Anything else you want to say about what's going on?
Well, the Proctors Collaborative is doing kind of cool things. UPH is about half done with construction. We're very close to starting construction for the new Cap Rep, which is very exciting. And,
stay tuned.
Seems like things are going great.
So you'll come back and tell us about that?
I'm ready anytime you are. Excellent. Can I just call you and say, Joe, let's have a half an hour?
That's right. Exactly. That's the new way to do it. Philip Morris is the CEO of Proctors. Proctors.org. Check out the Tonys on Sunday on CBS. Philip, a great pleasure. Always nice to have you here.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.